we're going to do just a brief Happy Valentine's Day overview. Sorry about the weather. Sorry about not being able to meet on live. And I'm thankful that you're here. Continue in prayer for people that are traveling, for people that are sick with COVID, especially the Dodd family. Just pray that God, one of the things that is a fact is that we can trust ourselves to the hand of our good God. And so we do that. And so, without further ado, I'm going to get into this book of Philemon. Philemon's the shortest book in the New Testament. And it's an easy book to memorize and will be a great one for you to memorize. And it's shorter than many chapters that you may have memorized. It's only got 25 verses, and some of the verses are teeny tiny. And so why don't we just read it together and then break it down a little bit. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church that's in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what's required. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you, my child, for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you. And I'll go ahead and say this as I'm reading. Useless is a play on Onesimus's name. Onesimus's name before it became a name was useless, or useful actually. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you. He used to not be Onesimus, but now he is Onesimus to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you. I'm sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. And if he has wronged you at all, or he owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will graciously be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, as so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's the reading of the word. And so we look at this story, and it's a simple story. I'm curious if this wasn't sent along as an addendum to the Church of Colossae, because Philemon, it appears, was the person who the Church at Colossae, the home in whom the Church at Colossae met, Archippus, perhaps not. There is Apphia and Archippus are our fellow soldiers and the church in your house. So they were house church people. Philemon seems to be the one who was hosting the house church, and he was a distinguished member of the Church of Colossae. And so we just got done reading Colossians, and when at the end of Colossians it said, "I'm going to be sending Onesimus with you and these other brothers, and they're going to be telling you about everything that's going on with us." And so then he sends this little note, if you will, to Philemon, which is the letter we're reading here, to say, "And by the way, Philemon, you know, I'm sending him back to the church." He's a beloved brother, is how he called him in Colossians, but I'm sending him back to the church. But I need to specifically address you about him because you had a particularly special relationship with him. And what was the special relationship? Well, it seems that the text says in some way that Philemon was a bondservant or bond slave, some of the old texts say, and of Philemon. So he was Philemon's slave. And also he was a runaway slave. He ran away and left him. And also it seems like that he was also a thief, that he had taken something that was owed back to Philemon. I mean, and so Paul, so here's a slave, runaway slave, and a thief. And so it seems that somehow when Paul was evangelizing the church at Colossae, that even though he wasn't present in person, that somehow his ministry or the word of him got out to Philemon. Philemon must have talked about him, and Onesimus, being in his household, and one of his household servants was a person who, it's hard for me to say the word slave. Almost everybody believes that he was a slave. The text says that he was a bond slave, which means that he was maybe a slave by choosing, but a slave nonetheless. And so anyways, I definitely want to call it the way it is. It's just hard for me to say the word out loud. It's a painful word. And for those in our country who've had that as in their distant background, it's really painful. And so, but he was this runaway slave who was also a thief. So I just wanted to set that up and say that's what the deal is. And somehow he had heard about Paul, and somehow he had heard that Paul was in prison, and while he was run away, he had gone to be with Paul and actually became a servant of Paul, and Paul had preached the gospel to him, and he had believed the gospel, and God had saved him by grace. And so what happened was is that he changed, and Paul says that he was very beneficial to him, and not also very, and he calls him his child, which Paul often called of people who were, that he had led to the Lord, his child in the faith. But he also had this extraordinary endearment to him, as he also did to Philemon. If you go back up to verse 1, it says, "To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker." And he uh, and And he talks about them being the fellow soldiers, and he talks about this kind of fellowship of the saint, using this word koinonia, which is this rich fellowship that we have in the gospel, and being in the same family, being all in Christ, part of Christ's body. That koinonia is the connecting fellowship that we have, if you will. And so he uses that language, and he uses the language beloved, which is a favorite term that Paul has for believers specifically. He never calls anybody who's not a believer beloved. And so he says that I've heard of your love in verse 5 and the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus. And he says, and I pray that your outreach ministry, your evangelistic ministry, your sharing of your faith might become effective. In other words, I'm praying that, that the Holy Spirit is on the heels of your gospel sharing, and that you would continue to that God would continue to save many people through your teaching. And he said that he had personally derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother. So he said, I've heard of your love, and I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. So here was Philemon. He was a rich guy. Church met in his house. He had household slaves. Onesimus was one of them. And Onesimus had somehow done him dirty and had ran away. And but this guy was a really wonderful believer, and he was known for his love, and so Paul is pointing out his love, that not only are you beloved, I love you, Philemon, but man, I've heard of your love, and how you just love people, and you're this evangelist, and when you share your faith, I pray that it becomes effective, and that God uses it for every good thing that he did to teach people about Jesus. And I have received such joy and such comfort from your love. And so, and you would think that he's buttering him up, and you'll see that that's likely what he's doing. And so, but in the proper way, I mean, the way you butter someone up is with the truth. But then you call on him. Then you call on him, and here's the next portion. The next portion, it says, accordingly, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you what is required. And it's interesting that he sets up with that. He doesn't say that. In other words, he's saying, Philemon, I could tell you what to do. I don't mind telling you what to do. I don't mind telling you what you ought to do and what I want you to do. And he said, and though I am, and I'm bold enough to do that, I mean, I'm not, and it's required of you, what I'm going to ask from you. And he said, yet for love's sake. I love this, that phrase. That's such a, that'll teach you something tonight. It teaches me something. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I could just tell you, listen, take Onesimus back. He's a believer now. He's going to be good. And don't take him back as a slave. Take him back as a brother. That's what I could tell you to do. But for love's sake. And I thought about it in a bunch of different ways. And of course, the text kind of makes you think about it in a bunch of ways. For love's sake, meaning I love you, Philemon. For love's sake, meaning Philemon, I know that you're a lover. That you love the saints, that you love Christ. That, so for love's sake, I'm just going to appeal to you. I'm an old man. I'm a prisoner. He was in prison. I'm going to appeal to you for my child in the faith, Onesimus, whose father I became while I was in prison. And then he makes this word play on his name. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he's useful to you and to me. And then he says, I'm going to send him back to you, and I'm sending you my very heart. Paul is not messing around here with this love thing. He's tender. He loves this guy. Man, this Onesimus, this, I mean, he knows that he had done Paul, that he had done Philemon dirty, and but he wasn't a believer, and he's a believer now, and he's been so profitable to Paul, and Paul loves this guy. He calls him my very heart, and it's not like Paul not to think of the saints that way. If you read over in Acts 20, he says, I would gladly give to my lives and my very heart to you. And in other words, Paul, this is the love of God, what the love of God begets in the hearts of the believer. We love each other. We really do love each other. And when we see each other and we love each other, and we could appeal to each other out of the strictness of do what's right, but the deal is that we appeal to each other out of the love that we have, not only for each other, but for the people that are hurting in our community. You know, you could say to a friend of yours who's struggling with her spouse, you could say, y'all need to straighten up and get it right. But out of love that you have for the one spouse, and out of love that you have for the other spouse, and out of love that you have for Christ, you make an appeal to them to do what they ought to do, what is required. And so he says, I appeal to you. And he says, I'm sending him back to you. I'm sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. So here is what he said. He said, I could tell you what to do here. I could tell you to take this guy back, and that you ought to, and that it's required. And I could even ask you to give him back to me. I could do all these things. I'm an apostle, had apostolic authority. In other words, he was Philemon's elder, if you want to see it as that. And he had spiritual authority over him, as the apostles did in all the churches that they planted. And so he said, but here's what I don't want to do. I want this to be up to you. And so when we did the Bible study on this a couple years ago in my Bible study group, we were sitting there going, well, did he really want it to be up to him? I mean, you know, it's like, but he really did. He really said, look, this is the right thing to do, but I want you to do it because it's up to you. I've thought about this as it relates to like giving. You know, this is a real easy place for me to make an analogy. You know, I've never wanted somebody to give unless they wanted to give. But you're supposed to give, and you ought to give. God tells us to give. Giving is a great testimony of our own heart, and it's a testimony that money's not an idol to us, and all this type of stuff. But you know, God says that He doesn't want us to give under compulsion. He wants us to be cheerful givers. But in that same passage, He says, "But I do want you to give because there's a need, and you need to give to it." And so, this is kind of one of those things, and He says, but what he's banking on here, the gift that he wants, is he's banking on the love that's in their heart. And even in giving, that's what he was doing. He was banking on the love that was in their heart for the needy saints that were in Jerusalem, that they would be willing to give to them. And so, and then he says this. He says, for this perhaps is why he was parted for you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So here's the thing. He's saying there's something that's changed about Onesimus, and perhaps it was the will of God that he leave you and rip you off and come to me so that God could save him and you could have him back and his relationship with you could completely change from a slave who ran away and stole from you to a brother who you loved. He's arguing for something that he's already argued for in the letter to the church at Colossae, which we saw. That in Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free. That we're all one in Christ Jesus. And that our relationship with each other in Christ Jesus goes beyond color, goes beyond ethnic identity, goes beyond nationality, goes beyond rich and poor, goes beyond anything. And that our identity now is with Christ, and we're a part of his body, and we're brothers and sisters. And therefore, we have a love for one another. And Paul wanted to send Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a beloved brother. But it would be on Philemon to be willing to receive him as a brother, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, Paul says, receive him as you would receive me. And so that's it. And you would receive me that way because I'm a believer and you love me and you receive me as a believer and I want you to receive him just like you receive me. I love him and you love me, and so you receive him just like you would receive me. And by the way, if he's wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account, Paul, and I'm writing this with my own hand, I will repay it. So I love this part because, you know, one of the critiques of this, or one of the interesting thoughts that people have about Philemon is this is the only letter that Paul doesn't mention the cross. It doesn't mention the gospel, explicitly doesn't mention the gospel. He says there that he's glad that Philemon had been sharing his faith, but he doesn't explicitly mention it. And I thought, this is interesting, though, because this seems to me it's a tag on to the letter to Colossae. And I think that the tag onto the letter of Colossae was Paul saying, Philemon, here, listen, I'm going to show you how I actually live out the gospel. I'm going to show you how I do it. So Christ accepted me, so I want you to accept Onesimus. So Christ paid for anything that was charged to my account and everything that was charged to my account. So I'm paying for anything that was charged to Onesimus' account, and I'm paying for everything that was charged to Onesimus' account. I want you to see that I'm living out a testimony of the gospel. I'm living out a testimony of the gospel. And then he says it even where he pushes it a little bit further, where he says it this way. So Paul, I'm writing this with my own hand, and I'm going to repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. What in the world was he doing there? But listen to this. Listen to this as the way it sounds in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. So be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. And so what he's saying is, listen, here's how the gospel works out. You owe me your very life, Philemon. Your very life in Christ, you owe me. And here's the deal. I want you to accept Onesimus like I've accepted you. And I want you to forgive Onesimus like I've forgiven you. And I'm going to repay for anything Onesimus has to his account, just like Christ paid for anything that was to my account. And so I want you to receive him just like Christ has received you. That's Romans 15:10, I think. You receive one another like Christ has received you. And I want you to receive him just like Christ has received you. And so he basically says, I'm going to live out the gospel in front of you, Philemon. I'm going to show you what it looks like to be a gospel guy. I'm going to show you what it looks like to accept someone like Christ has accepted me, to forgive someone like Christ has forgiven me, to to take all the charges of someone else's accounts and put them on myself for their sake so that they'll be accepted by you and so that you can be part of this guy's family. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. And then he says this, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than what I say. And at the same time, prepare a guest room for me. And I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will graciously be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Here's what he says next. He says, listen, I already know you, Philemon. I already know your heart. I already know that your heart has been shaped by the love of God. So just do what your heart tells you to do. And I'm confident that you're going to obey that. I know that you're going to do the right thing. I know that you are. I love counseling really committed believers. I love counseling them. You know why I do? Because I know they're going to do the right thing. I really do. And I don't know sometimes where people are in their walk with Christ. Sometimes when we're weak in the faith, we need to be strengthened before we're able to do what God wants us to do. But man, when I see someone who comes in and they love the Lord, and I know they do, and they're burdened and bummed out, and they've gotten down in a ditch, and this and that and the next thing, and they're in trouble, and they're turmoiled, but I know who they are. I know what their heart is. All I have to do is just say, hey, look, here's what you got to do, and you already know it. And I'm confident of your obedience. Just go and do it, and it'll straighten stuff out. And sure enough, man, they don't let me down. And so I'm glad about that. Let me tell you one of the great ways that God has used the book of Philemon in our history. God has used the book of Philemon to really put a nail in the peg of the acceptance of slavery. Philemon, Paul tells Philemon, listen, I want you to accept him no longer as a slave, but instead as a brother. That when you're in Christ, we don't relate to one another anymore as slave or free. We don't relate to each other anymore. The way we relate to each other in Christ is as brothers, as dearly beloved, as brothers who really love each other and who really care for each other. And that's the way we relate to each other in Christ. Some of the brokenness that I have seen in our country, of course, you too, just has disturbed me in every level. We don't know how to... there's a piece of me that doesn't expect the lost world that doesn't know Christ to know what to do. They're supposed to be like the world. But the saints are not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to love each other. It's a grievous sin for a saint to ever look on someone of a different color or a different background or a different nationality, different socioeconomic status, as something other than a beloved brother. And we don't see each other the same way the world sees each other. We don't categorize ourselves and put ourselves in little boxes. There's only one box that we're in. We're in the body of Christ. And because we're in the body of Christ, we love each other. And Paul appeals to that love in Philemon's heart, which he already knew was there. He appeals to it and he says, I already know about your love. It's talked about everywhere. You're a lover. Everybody knows you are. Everybody loves how you love. You've really impacted people. You've refreshed people with your love. And that love extends even to this slave, even to this slave who stole from you, even to this slave who ran away from you, who you could throw in prison and you could demand him to repay and you could do all these sorts of things. But he's reoriented now. He's your brother. There's a great song. There's a great line, even in the words of O Holy Night, that says, "The slave's my brother." And I love that line in O Holy Night. And I pray that we as God's people will love. And will love each other. And that we will do it because Christ has loved us. And that we will do it because it's the right thing to do. And that we will do it as a testimony to the gospel. As a dramatizing the gospel. Living it out in our own life. I'll bear anything. I'll eat anything that you've said against me. Boy, I tell you, in this last season, there's a lot of things that's been said against each other, especially saints. And a lot of feelings that have been stirred up and thoughts that we've had. We haven't thought the best of each other sometimes. And I pray that the Lord will correct our hearts and that we'll see our fellow brother in no matter how they are. Fellow sister, no matter how they are or who they are, but I pray that we'll see them like Christ sees them as part of his body and that we'll love them like Christ has loved us. I'm glad that you stuck around and put up with our challenges, our technical difficulties. I pray that God blesses you a whole bunch on this Valentine's Day and drive careful. I'm going to pray with you. I want to pray a special prayer for the Dodd family, if you can, and for those of you who are watching abroad. The Dodd family is a precious family to our community, and David's struggling with sickness in the hospital. So, Lord, we come to you. We're thankful that you have saved us. We're thankful that you've shed your love abroad in our hearts. We're thankful that you dramatize the gospel in our life time and time again, and that you call on us to dramatize it in other people's lives. And for your sake, and for your kingdom's sake, and for your family's sake, and for your body's sake. And we pray, God, that you will reunite the saints in this country. And no matter what line they are, I pray that we will find our fellowship in you. And our home in you. And I pray especially for the Dodd family. I just want to trust David to your perfect and loving care. I ask that you care for him and that you heal him and help him. And I pray that you'll rescue him. And I most of all, I trust that you're doing your perfect will in his life. In Jesus' name, amen.